So now we come towards the end of the session, or towards the end of these days of session practice, and we get to continue our practice in other ways, in other forms, in other realms. And this fits in very well with the two cases that I brought up. The case from the Gateless Gate, the Mumon Khan, of ordinary mind is the way. And the case from the Denko Roku, single hair pierces many holes, myriad holes, however we translate it. Joshu, ordinary mind is the way. Joshu practice with Nansen. When this case is occurring, this dialogue between them, where Joshu asks, what is the Tao, what is the way, ordinary mind is the way. Joshu is about, let us say, 19, 20, fairly young, a sincere practitioner who has practiced and seen. And as this koan dialogue ends, the words in the Mumon Khan are, at these words, Joshu was enlightened, or suddenly enlightened. Different people translate it. Joshu suddenly enlightened. Nevertheless, Joshu continues studying, as Mumon's commentary says, even though Joshu may be enlightened, he can truly get it only after studying for 30 more years. In other words, he spent another 30 years with Nansen, and some of these years are, what should I say, recorded in other texts, including the other famous case, or not the another famous case, Nansen Cuts the Cat, which is about Joshu going on pilgrimage, coming back. We could leave that case for another time. But what I want to point out is Joshu's continued practice with Nansen until Nansen dies. And then he, for 3 years, conducts what's known as the formal memorial ceremonies at Nansen's temple, at Nansen's tomb. And after that, so Joshu is then, it's said, when Nansen died, he's about 60. At that point, he goes off pilgrimaging, and we have lots of examples of his encounters during those pilgrimages. He starts off the pilgrimage, which I'll loosely paraphrase. He says, if I meet an 8-year-old girl and she is fully awakened, I'll stop and study practice with her. And if I meet a 70-year-old ancient monk who doesn't see it clearly, I'll stop and teach him. So when there's many cases of him wandering throughout China and having encounters with various well-known Zen, what I should say, Chan masters, and Chinese Zen is Chan. Actually, both Zen and Chan are Chinese pronunciations, but the primary Chinese form of pronouncing the word is Chan. Joshu's encounters with Lin Ji. Joshu's encounters with many of the masters are recorded in koan collections in the Joshu Roku, which is fortunately translated into English. Actually, there are, I think, at least three translations that are good of Joshu's collections, sayings, and doings of Joshu. The reason I bring this up is the point of Joshu's continued devoted practice after his awakening. The importance of this. The importance of this for us to know that though Sesshin ends here, it doesn't end at all. It continues in our practice in various other forms later today, tomorrow, and throughout your life. But it depends on you to continue to do this. Depends on you to create the forms and the ways that your life circumstances can support, enrich your ongoing practice, challenge the ways that you get entangled and stuck. Now, this is the case of Joshu. The second case was the case of Ko Nanjo and Ehe Dogen. Now, Ejo was several years, it's said 2 years, so I'll go with that, but depending upon how the Japanese counted that, was 2 years older than Dogen, and he actually had been practicing with another Zen sect in Japan known as Darumashu, and practiced at various other temples. If I remember correctly, he had started off as a Tendai priest as well, just as Dogen did, and he practiced Zen. When Dogen came back from China to Japan in 1227, he lived for a period of time in Kenin Monastery, which was in Kyoto. And during that time, Ejo decided to visit Dogen, this person who came back from China and who was, it was said, had studied with these other teachers. Originally, Kenin Ji was the temple of Myozen, who was Dogen's teacher, when he studied in Japan. No, and when he went to China, he went to China with him as well, and his teacher died there. And Dogen stayed there, but Dogen wasn't quite satisfied with the way practice was there. Nevertheless, Dogen stayed there and for several years. And during that time, Ejo heard about him and decided that he would visit with him. Ejo had already had let us say, as he puts it, grasp the essence of seeing essential nature, and he wondered what Dogen would have brought from China, whether it was something useful, more clear, whatever. So he went there to visit Dogen, and they talked for several days, it said, and they saw eye to eye. And Edjo thought, well, my understanding is like Dogen's, and he praised Dogen's understanding. But after several days, Dogen started, as it is said, revealing a different understanding, which surprised Edjo and raised doubt and made him want to study with Dogen. He wanted to study with Dogen, and Dogen told him, I'm not ready yet to have people study with me. I'm here at Kenenji, but it's not my own place. When I find a place, then come back. This isn't a good time for you to be my student. So Dogen wandered off and in several years had his own place. And then in 1234, it said, so that's Dogen came back in 1227, 1234, Edjo came back. Now, during that time, one of the things is that Edjo had this whole, what should I say, group of people who were all part of the Darumashu, but the Darumashu was banned in Japan. I mean, it was a Japanese sect, but it was banned. So those people had to practice, but practice somewhat underground. And they were persecuted by the Japanese and the Tendai authorities. But he talked about Dogen and Dogen's practice with his fellow practitioners of Darumashu. And so in 1234, he began practicing with Dogen, practiced for 3 years before this case of a single hair passing through myriad holes comes up. After that, he continued with Dogen, receiving transmission, continued studying for almost 20 years until Dogen died and then became Dogen's first successor. He was Dogen's attendant. He took on many other important positions. He recorded much of what Dogen was teaching at that time. And then after Dogen died, he became the second abbot leader of what later was called Eheiji, which is the temple that Dogen founded. And he became the second ancestor, so it's Ehe Dogen, Koun Ejo, and then some of the other successes, Tetsugikai, Keizan Jokin, more successes, were also from that coterie of people who had been ordained, studied, practiced under Darumashu. And in fact, there's various ways in Dogen's teachings where you could see when these Darumashu people came, and Dogen wanted to emphasize how his teaching was different than the Darumashu teaching. You'd see a change in what Dogen emphasizes. But I'll leave that aside. The point I want to make is both of these people, Joshu being awakened, Edjo being awakened and continuing to practice, whether with the teacher or on their own. This is what we all need to be aware of, that our practice is a lifetime practice in myriad forms called sesshin, myriad forms called daily zazen, myriad forms called daily work, daily relationships, and so forth. Clarifying our practice is up to us in these myriad forms. Of course, it's just a single hair penetrating myriad forms. But what myriad forms are there? We shouldn't, if we're fooled by the myriad forms, then we first have to clarify the single hair. But there's not a single form. What myriad forms could we talk of? Our ongoing practice is that. Is this in our life? And the reality is that each of us must make our life into a support, not by changing the circumstances, but by making the efforts that are appropriate for our life and our circumstances to continue our practice in accord with who and what we are. This, if we want to say, in accord with the ordinary way, the ordinary way that is who we are. The not being caught in knowing or not knowing, noticing wherever we're caught, being just this. And yet, we get to see all the various arisings in our life. For each of us, they'll be very different. For each of us, and throughout the day, they're going to be different. Who shares this practice with us, whether they know it or not, is going to vary. And that's important to know, that we're sharing practice with myriad bodhisattvas. And we can just start with those that we see and encounter. Whether they call themselves a practitioner or not doesn't make a difference. When we look at the real form of the universe, all is the never-failing manifestation. All. Then it's up to us to see what nurtures our practice. And our practice doesn't mean me, some little me, but our, whoever, whatever this moment life is, our practice. And what's my task, job, if I say it, there, to do that, to nurture that. As Mumon says, Joshu needed another 30 years, and then Joshu went off pilgrimaging for, I don't remember, 20, 30 years till he settled down. No, I think it was 20 years, and then he settled down and taught. Some of you who've been to China, when a group of us went to China, will remember we were at Joshu's monastery in China. In fact, during the Cultural Revolution, most of the monastery was destroyed and had to be rebuilt. But what was not destroyed was a stupa with Joshu's relics. And I remember circumambulating that both individually and with others. This monastery also happened to be, in later years, the monastery of Mumon, the compiler of the Mumon Khan. So it's been easy doing sashin. When it comes to it, hopefully, circumstances supporting it and making it possible, we'll have a sashin at the end of May, which is a 5-day sashin. starting Wednesday evening and ending on the afternoon of Memorial Day. Of course, no one knows what tomorrow brings, much less May. And it's up to us to practice today, whichever today is, whether it's Sesshin or the end of Sesshin or Sesshin over, and to see what, where, how we need to practice so that, as Wuman says, base is shattered and melted away. Could translate it a different way. Tile is disintegrated and the ice is dissolving. That's for us to reveal, to share with all who we meet, to reveal and taste for ourselves. Then we can take care of it, be this completely pierced life, completely pierced, not being deluded by holes, not being deluded by single hairs. So that's up to you. I, Mushin, can make suggestions. You might get other suggestions, suggestions from the universe about what's skillful practice, but the doing is up to us. I want to mention that some of you have asked about Joko's teaching and practice. So for an easy, what should I say, synopsis, you could find on the webpage of the Prairie Zen Center. Of course, you've got, there's Joko's got various books, but an easy synopsis that's called Selected Teachings of Joko Beck, which was written by Karen Sean Etheridge, my wife. No royalties involved, so though I recommend it, there's no other motives, but I think it's a useful reminder in daily life practice, and there's some succinct points there that Joko makes about practicing in daily life, in non-sesshin times, in times during the day when we're not doing formal practice, and yet we're always in the midst of this practice. So even if we're not in a monastery or a zendo, the whole world is exactly that for us. Thank you all, and I think Mushin is going to offer now opportunities for people to speak in this closing of Sesshin.